Macmillan Audio presents The Rise, Kobe Bryant and the Pursuit of Immortality. Written by Mike Sielski. Read by Mike Sielski and me, Landon Woodson.
Hey, this is the author, Mike Sielski. Just wanted to jump in and read the preface before handing off the rest of the book to your narrator, Landon. Preface: The Signs of Things to Come. On the day after Kobe Bryant died, a high school classmate and friend sent me an email that carried the force of a fist that I couldn't see coming. "Thought you'd find this interesting," Ben Rellis wrote. Embedded in the message was a link to a 36-second video. On the right side of the video's split-screen shot was Kobe, wearing a charcoal scoop-neck sweater, sitting in an expansive cherry desk, riveted to flickering images on a laptop. He was in the executive offices of YouTube, where Ben was working to find new content for the channel. Kobe had come to the company's Southern California headquarters in January 2018 to pitch a show based on Wizenard, a series of children's books he had created that combined the themes of sports, fantasy, and magic. As it turned out, YouTube wasn't funding children's programming at the time and didn't buy the show. But it was genuinely one of the most impressive pitches I've heard, Ben said later. He was incredibly passionate about the idea and clearly hands-on in every aspect of it. On the video's left side were the images that had grabbed Kobe's attention. Footage of a basketball game between two suburban Philadelphia high schools, his alma mater, Lower Merion, and mine, Upper Dublin. Ben and I were seniors then. He was a backup forward on the team. I was an editor of the student newspaper and lacked the skills and athleticism to play organized ball beyond intramurals. Kobe Bryant was a freshman. It was the second game of his high school career. On December 7, 1992, as part of its high school boys basketball preview package, the Philadelphia Inquirer had published a pair of brief articles, one about each team. Both squads were green and were expected to struggle. But according to Jeremy Treatman, the correspondent who had written about the Lower Merion Aces, one player represented a glimmer of hope for them. Remember this name, Kobe Bryant. The following week, the teams squared off in the consolation game of a four-team tournament at Lower Merion. In that 36 seconds of footage from that game, the Upper Dublin player closest to the camera, a senior guard named Bobby McIlvain, the number 24, also Kobe's number, huge on the back of his red jersey, whipped a cross-court pass to a teammate, Ari Grice. After Grice caught the ball in the right wing, he used a left-handed dribble to surge past Kobe and bank in a floater from the lane. A family friend of Ben's had filmed the game, and Ben, having kept the tape all these years and knowing he would be sitting down with Kobe, had converted the recording to a digital file. Then, once the YouTube meeting had ended, Ben had played the footage on the laptop, and one of his coworkers had taken care to capture Kobe's reaction to it. There it all was, in cosmic juxtaposition. You could watch Kobe as a 39-year-old watch himself as a 14-year-old in real time. "That is hilarious," he said. "Great defense, Kobe. That's horrible defense. You can replay that all fucking day. Oh my God. No, that's funny. We only won four games that year." So where were you when that helicopter slammed into that Calabasas hillside in January 2020? Fixing yourself a midday snack in the kitchen? Relaxing in your recliner? Cleaning the garage? Me? I was in my car, my two sons in the back seat, hustling home so my 8-year-old could change and get to his 3:45 basketball game. And when we got there, I didn't notice it, but my son did, and he didn't tell me about it until after the game. There was a player on the opposing team, his arms peeking out like sapling branches from underneath a white t-shirt and a green tank top, the word Kobe written in black marker on his sleeve. You don't forget.